الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا من أنفسهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين صدق الله مولانا Allah's fazl, karam, ihsan, Allah's great favors that Allah has granted us this what we are calling an islahi jalsa. Really, what is an islahi jalsa? For many of us it is something new. For many of us we haven't heard of it before. Perhaps it's the first year in Port Elizabeth that we are having an islahi jalsa. From where does this come? What does it mean? How important is it? Is it some bid'ah? Is it some new thing in deen? What is it? We'll try and discuss that in the few minutes that we have. As I've recited in this ayat al-kareemah, and this ayat, very similar in meaning, has come in the second, first sufara also, first juz, in the second juz also, in the fourth juz also, and from the fourth juz I've read this ayat, and then in the 28th juz also. So this ayat, with some other meaning, a little bit changes, has come four places in the Quran, very distinctly and clearly. In this ayat, Allah Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Allah has shown His great favors upon the mu'mineen, upon the believer. إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ And one of these great favors is that Allah had sent a Rasul to them from amongst themselves, from amongst the human species, from amongst the Quraysh. To the Quraysh, Allah sent a Rasul to them. And then what was the function of this Rasul? Allah mentions three basic fundamental functions of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. First one, yatlu alayhim ayatihi, that he recites the ayats of the Quran Sharif to them. And this entails learning of the Quran Sharif. And learning right from the basics, the primary, which we call our maktabs, our makati, our primary madrasas. That was the first function in all four ayats that have been mentioned by Allah Ta'ala. So we can from that, though this is not our topic now, but from that we can understand how important the makati are. The primary madaris, where the children learn Quran Sharif, the basics of deen, that's the first duty of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second, where in this ayat, where you zakkeeh, that he purifies them, that he cleanses them, that he gives them good spiritual health. Yeah, it is in three ayats, it has been mentioned in the middle. And in one ayat in the Al-Iflam mean, it has been mentioned last. But in the other three ayats, it has been mentioned in the middle. And that is our subject of today, that what is this tazkiyah? Yeah, we will explain that just now, but here you can understand, it was a fundamental duty of the risalat, the prophethood of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to fulfill this duty, to purify the people spiritually, to make their tazkiyah, to make their islah. That is with this islahi jalsa which we are having, which is a fundamental duty of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then in this ayat, at the third Allah mentioned, and in three ayats Allah mentioned this, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ He teaches to them the kitab, the Quran Sharif, and the hikmah, the hadith, in other words, the whole of deen, which is taught in the Darul Ulooms, where the whole of deen is taught to the students in the Darul Ulum. So these are three great functions which Allah has mentioned in these four ayats. And then Allah Ta'ala says here in this ayat, وَإِن كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي الْضَلَالِ مُبِينَ Before this, that people were in open misguidance.
He did not have direction in that. He did not know who is Allah. Just now I received one email from a young lady of England. She says her mother wears a beautiful mop. Very, very beautiful mop. But she says when she came from India to England, they came from a village where they did not know at all what is deen. They say we should worship Allah Ta'ala also. We should worship the Bawas and the Peers also, the Karamat. We should worship the graves also. And we should worship the candle and fire also. Right? So how the Hindus do, they worship the Diva, their light. And they think it's a god. Like that we should do. But Allah Ta'ala guided her. And how Allah blessed her. And what a beautiful mosque she would have. So all this year is that the whole of deen has to come into our life. However, we are discussing this subject of tazkiyah, of Islam, of self-reformation. Where does it come from? We can see it comes from the Quran. And not only in this four ayahs, in many, many other ayahs, Allah has explained the importance, the necessity of it. Allah has made our success on this tazkiyah. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ تَزَكَّى. Allah says only that person has become completely successful who has got spiritual good health, who has removed his spiritual diseases, and he has got spiritual good health. Allah Ta'ala declares that, and in many other places also. And this ill health, spiritually, is also a thing which comes into a person. Allah Himself says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا. The fujur, the evil desires, lust, desire, passion, love of dunya, whatever type it might be, Allah says we have put it in there. Now it's their duty to take it out of it. Just like, now I'll give an example of what we are talking about, this tazkiyah, this Islam, spiritual rectification, spiritual reformation. We'll be able to understand it very easily with this example. And that is our physical health. We all understand that very easily. We have got our bodies. And nobody likes that he must have any disease within. Unfortunately, man's mind has become so topsy-turvy that many people, it's a status thing to be visiting the top doctor of the country. And the top doctor of the world. In other words, it's a status thing to be sick. Today, how upside down we have become, and some people are proud, I take so many tablets, every morning so many tablets. And I got contact with the most top psychologist, with the most top sugar expert, with the most top this. In other words, we are proud, we are sick people. That is, how can a person be proud that he's ill? A person should be happy, not proud, make sugar to Allah, it's got good health. He doesn't have to go and see a doctor his whole life also. He doesn't have to take one panado also. Nothing he needs to take. That is something to be happy about. But we all know illnesses, diseases come into a person as age goes. And some people, sadly, in their young age also, they have so many illnesses, diseases. Otherwise, as age you grow older, there are all types of diseases. Now you become a diabetic, now you've got blood pressure, you have got cholesterol, you have got this, you have got that. So that is, we all understand that. And when that happens, the first stage is we try some home remedies. Firstly, we wish it away, that it must just go away by itself. Does it go away? We try some home remedies, still it's not helping, in fact it's being aggravated, it's becoming worse. We also think family people, friends tell us, go and see a doctor, I know this doctor, that doctor is very good, we have to go and see a doctor. He diagnoses you, he puts you on medication, perhaps he refers you now to a specialist, perhaps you have to be hospitalized also. Anyway, you go through this process at whichever level it might be. You might get shifa, good health, through the treatment. You might not. It happens sometimes, people try a lot of remedies, but no shifa comes to a person. Sometimes a person gets shifa also. And if you do get shifa, or you don't get shifa, it doesn't mean you're not going to die. Eventually you're still going to die. And commonly we say, when a person has died, he was in great pain, now he's resting in peace. What is actually happening only Allah knows. But how we see the body now, no more he's complaining of the pain, he's just lying still, he says resting in peace. So this is our physical side of life. You get headache, goes to a migraine, it becomes very, very heavy, your head is throbbing, you have to go, perhaps it was something to do with the brain damage, and you die also in that, whatever it can be. These things happen. And we take our treatment, we don't take. We take our treatment, we get shifa, we don't get shifa. In any case, we're going to die. No, nobody can deny that. You have to eventually die. So that is with our physical side. Understand just like that. And our bodies are made of two principal components. The body and the ruh. The ruh. A body is made up of these two principal things. And the most important is the ruh. The minute the ruh is out, even if you have perfect health, one gunshot, one motor car accident, you have no problem in your health, but now you are lying dead. Your heart is not functioning, your eyes are not functioning, the ruh is gone out. As long as the ruh is there, everything carries on. A person is in a coma in the hospital for a month, for 2 months, but as long as the ruh is there, he can't eat also, they have to feed him. He can't do his toilet also, they're putting on bags for him and he's just being relieved like that. But the doctor cannot write a date set that certificate for him. He's got his... When the ruh is gone out, all that machines are removed now. The nurses that were in so much attendance to him, they all leave him now. Now he's a dead person. So that is the physical. So the ruh is the important thing. And the ruh also becomes sick. And it becomes so sick that Allah Himself says, so to say, that we make the ruh sick. فَأَلْهَمَهَا هُدِيَا All the diseases of the ruh, Allah says, we have put it in there. Love of dunya. And also all these things, love of woman for example, love of money, love of status, love of a beautiful luxurious home, the best motor car available, the beautiful garden, swimming pool, all these things, all this love for those things, to have it is not haram, the love of it is haram. And even the desire for woman is a natural thing. Many a person who hasn't come into the field of the tasawwuf and the zikiyah, he says, I got terrible desires. He doesn't tell anyone. He's too afraid to speak about it. He keeps it within himself. My lust, my terrible thoughts that I get, I can never make it. The tasawwuf is not for me. Religious life is not for me. I'm a writer. I'm content, finished. I can't do anything. Because they haven't associated with mashayikh and with ulama, they get these wrong thoughts. Otherwise, the desire for woman also, the desire for wealth also, Allah says, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينِ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ وَالذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ وَالْخَيْلِ الْمُسَوَّمَةِ وَالْأَنْعَامِ وَالْحَرْثِ All these things. So Allah says, we make it beautiful and put it, that desire we put into their heart. So the desire of this thing is not haram. To act on it in a haram way is haram. The desire for a woman, halal or not halal, is not haram. It comes into a person. Now Allah has made a halal way, get married, you have your wife. And now you satisfy yourself, nothing haram. But you want to, other, still even married men, plenty, perhaps all, still got desire for other women also. And that desire is not haram. To act on that desire is haram. To look at the other woman, that desire comes into you. That is from Allah's side. Allah has declared, I put that disease in you. Now the thing is to fight it. If we had none of these desires, then nobody could become a wali also. A wali, only that person becomes who has got desires, but the conditions don't act on that desire. To give you a simple example by which you can understand, previously when I was in another place, Germiston, the Mutawalli was perhaps 50 years old at that time. We were a group of people sitting and he said, till today I never received a traffic fine. Not for speeding, seat belts, stopping at a stop sign, parking. We were all surprised, 50 years you do make a mistake. You do, so everyone gets caught and he gets a fine for something. Then he said, I never drove a car. So if you don't drive a car, how are you going to get a car? So the same way, understand this, if you don't have desire, how can you become a wali? If you do, malaika, Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam, all the malaika, they have no desire of self, and it is haram to call an angel, a farishta, one of the malaika, to call him a wali is haram. Because only that person can become a wali who has got desires, haram desires. Haram desires he's got, but he does not act upon them. If you go to the fubur and you say that, oh, such great awliya, they don't commit one sin. They can't be awliya, they got no. The awliya are the awliya that can become. And the fuel of becoming an awliya, the fuel of becoming a wali of Allah is to have this haram desires. And then not to act upon. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and particularly Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it was famous, kana waqqafan inda kitabillah. You must have your accelerator. You are speeding, everything fine, road is fine, your car is fine, and you are speeding, no problem. But when there is a danger, there is a hazard, traffic jam, or winding road, or whatever else, traffic has stalled, now you have to press your brakes. So you got your own wife, no problem. Halal you are earning, no problem. You're spending it haram. You're living a life of halal. You're not spending it in haram, you're spending it halal. You are living a nice life. You are cruising. You can carry on cruising at whatever speed. In fact, Islam has allowed four wives also. Cruise up to four wives also if you have to, and if it's necessary for you. But the minute haram comes, put sharp brakes. Such sharp brakes which are more than power brakes also. More than you put your hand brakes also, and you reduce your speed with your gear also. More sharper brakes the minute the thought, the haram comes in front of you. That is all what it is. So these desires, they are in the person. What is the soul? To learn to control them, not to act upon. And Allah becomes greatly happy on a person who never had desire to harm from a guna. And he saved himself from guna. He can never reach that person who has got desire. And also many of us, I got too much lust in my, too much guma. I can't control it. The more you got desire, control it, the more greater wali you become. The greater wali that person becomes who has got more greater desire. So in short, what is this tazkiyah about? What is this jalsa which we are having? Is that every person, you can deny it if you want to act like a big buzur, that I don't have any desire of any sin, and that me, so big beard I got, so long kurta, topi, samana also, I got desire of guna. You can try and hide it from your wife also, from everyone, but the truth is, every person, if you haven't got, you're not a human being, you're some other person. If butter is put in front of fire and it doesn't melt, it's not butter. If man hasn't got this desire to turn mortal, you know. When you become an old man, you become so cold, more colder than a deep freeze. But your desires still don't go anywhere. They are still there. Though you can't do anything now, you have gone like a deep freeze. But the desire is still there. But to remove, not to carry on thinking of that. Not to plan now, not to go and look at woman, just to control yourself and become a great woman. That moment you bought the top of the range BMW, Mercedes-Benz, latest model, but you don't put no fuel, you say the car is useless. No, the fuel has to be there. Your whole car must work, but you must have your brakes also. When necessary, brake, emergency, put a sharp brake. So just like that, so these desires that we have got, they are there, they are natural. And now what we have to learn, and this is in the branch of the soul. And the soul of being is not only the soul, there are all the other branches. The branch of our makatib, our darul ulooms, the work of tabligh and da'wah, which is such a great work, and how that the people are benefiting in the whole world, which is absolutely essential. But together with all that, we have to have Islam. Yeah, I explained that physically, if we treat ourselves, we might get well, we might not get well. Any case, we're going to die. And with that, the disease comes to an end. Now, the dead person, you don't put tablets in his mouth. And you don't inject the dead person. He's a dead person. And now we say that his disease has come to an end.
But spiritually, if we did not read the diseases of lust and desire, of pride and haughtiness, arrogance, we did not treat the disease of doing things for name and fame and show, then what will come to such a person also? But if these problems don't come to an end, these problems start from in the qabr, he will have to now face the consequences if he did not take treatment and he did not correct his spiritual life. To understand, a person's whole life makes salah, goes for Hajj Umrah, goes in Jamaat, goes in Khanqa, does everything, Hajj Umrah every year. But he hasn't got ikhlas, sincerity. It wasn't long, we were in Madagascar, in the Marcus, and there were quite a few Jamaats. So one old man, elderly man, I took a liking to him and we were talking, we were sitting and eating together. He just told me that I have made 51 Hajj in my life. Just then, one person told him Chacha. So he got angry, he said, not Chacha, Hajisa. So if that pride has come in him, I made 51 Hajj, in that one word of his that he said, not Chacha, Hajisa, 51 Hajj gone down the drain. If he didn't do it for Allah's sake. So all our amal, our namaz, in fact, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a majlis, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught practically the whole of deen in majlis and Allahu Akbar. Not only Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had regular majlis, in his lifetime, our Shaykh gives khilafat to his murid today and instructs him, you also make majlis. Sahaba used to have majlis. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should oversee those majlis. And he should go and visit this with people and see how the majalis carrying on. Take reports from them that how the majalis carrying on. So in one such majlis, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if it's a pitch black night, today we can't imagine it, with the amount of electricity around, we can't today understand what is a pitch black night. And then a pitch black storm and a pitch black ant is walking. Nobody can see it. Nobody can hear it. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, more stealthily, more secretly and privately than that also, to do things for name and fame comes in the heart of a person. Allah reward the Sahaba, and this is how they learn deen. They not just acquire. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, oh Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that case all of us will be destroyed. All life we make, doing work of deen, making namaz, doing Hajj, Umrah, everything we doing. But we didn't even know that pride, that name and fame has come into us. And Allah will only accept that amal which are 100% for Allah's sake. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave the remedy, that how to bring the sincerity. It's a small dua to be read, let us read it together. اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أشرك بك شيئا وأنا أعلم وأستغفرك لما لا أعلم. But this is to be read regularly on a daily basis. To understand the meaning and to read it. To drink an empty capsule, if you're just making yourself happy, I took medicine. All that medicine, 5 milligram, 500 milligram, 5,000 milligram, so powerful that medicine will. So the reality of this dua has to come. So in other words, if we do all our amal without ikhlas, then it is zero. Allah won't accept it. And zero plus zero equals zero. Zero plus 100 zeros equals zero. But now if you bring ikhlas, sincerity, one Allah, you do it for Allah's pleasure. One and a zero behind it now is 10. Another zero, 100. Another zero, 1,000. Another zero, 10,000. 100,000. Million. It just carries on and on when that is left. So this is that effort to put that one, that we do things, that we realize we do it from Allah. If a person does all his amal without iman, many non-Muslims also do good deeds. They also build houses of Allah, churches, what we would say. They will also help animals out, poor people, humanitarian aid, they also want to. But no iman on Allah, required iman is zero. All what they are doing is zero plus zero plus zero, they're just carrying on adding more zeros. And at the time of mort equals zero.
But if you had ikhlas. Now see, it must not happen. We can say about the Christians and the Jews and about the Hindus. But it mustn't happen about to us who are sitting in the masjid. A common example I usually give. There's a wedding in the family, or the Islam Jalsa is taking place, Tabligh Ijtima is taking place, Mashura, all the arrangements, the facilities we have to make. Commonly it is, I will sort this out, don't worry about this yet. I will see to the catering. I will see to this, I will organize the transport from the airport. No, inshallah, I will do. That is shit, I got power, I will do. And this is very common all the time, anything, don't worry, I'll sort it out. You just don't worry about it. You didn't say, inshallah, who are you that you're going to sort it out? And so many of us, without knowing it, there's shirk in our lives. And we are happy. So what shirk in our lives, all that we are preparing for Islamic Jalsa, we pray for Ijtima, for the Jalsa in the Darul Uloom, a wedding in the family, any other occasion what we are preparing. And if we think, I'm the doer, you got contact, you must see, you do it, you got good contact with that person. And we haven't got trust in Allah. We don't think about Allah. Then all our amal, may Allah save us, mustn't come to zero at the time of mort. And in fact, minus it goes to. Not only zero, but minus. So this is that effort to bring reality into this. To remove the spiritual disease. And wallah, a person whose spiritual diseases are removed, he is in Jannah in this dunya. A person who's got humility, sincerity, a person who has got love for Allah, a person who's got love for the Sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is living in Jannah in this world. And many buzurg say, I feel I'm walking on the ground of Jannah in this world. May Allah give us topic, inshallah. The Ijtima program will carry on after Asr, and then bring other brothers to attend, people who are far away, and invite them to listen on the audio streaming also. And let us all take full benefit and with an open mind listen and see, do I need this or not? Is it necessary in my life or not? If so, apply. Carry on with all our other work. Do your business. Carry on with your wife, your household chores, your tabligh work, your maktab, your madrasa, your teaching. But add this one necessary element, which is so important, add this also into our life. May Allah give us topic. Wa akhiru da'wana.